Good afternoon and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. I appreciate all the songs, especially that last one. It's great to think about what God has offered us and this basic message that we need to teach the world, that salvation has been brought down for us, that it is something that each one of us can have access to, and the world needs to hear that. The world doesn't need to hear that we're people of hate. They need to hear that we're a people that care greatly about their souls. Jesus came to die for our sins, but that's not all he came to do. He came to change us into the people that he wants us to be. If you really think about it, while Jesus is on earth, he does spend some time telling his disciples what's going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem, and a little bit of time as to what that's all about. But the vast majority of Jesus' time on earth is teaching people what God wants us to be. He is trying to change our hearts and our behavior. And at its essence, one of the things that God wants us to be is a people of service. And so in Luke chapter 22, Jesus teaches something under the occasion in which the disciples, once again, are debating which one of them is the greatest. Who's the greatest follower of Jesus? Who will have the greatest glory and honor? Who pleases God the most? And so in Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, "And there also arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves." And so Jesus sets this example for us. He says, who's the greater one, the one who is served or the one who serves? And he says, you guys understand this. It is the one who serves who is in submission to the one who is served. The one who is served is greater. How then is it that I am the one who serves? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it talks about Jesus setting up the church. He's setting up the roles within it, and he has given us various roles. So verse 11, he says, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? Why did Jesus give us these various roles? Well, he goes on in the next verse, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service." The apostles' work was to get us ready to do service. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what it was all working together, is to make us a people that are serving those who are around us. There are many today who have this quite confused, and they seek the church that best serves them. What they have failed to understand is that it is all about them being a servant. I'm not opposed to getting something out of a congregation. I think we all should get something out of a congregation, but that's not what we're supposed to seek. What we're supposed to seek is opportunity to serve others. I want to make 7 points about this briefly this morning, afternoon at this point. That's good. First one is, we are supposed to be servants of everybody. Anybody. We're not supposed to go through our lives and say, well, this person is particularly evil, so I want nothing to do with them. I think that's kind of a perception people have right now of us. Oh, you don't want to be around these particular people. They're so sinful. No. Jesus set a different example for us. In John chapter 13, when Jesus gets down to wash the disciples' feet, I want you to consider what's going on in the surrounding circumstances. So John chapter 13 and verse 2 says, "During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him." So they're eating a meal, Jesus and his disciples, but one of them is at that moment, while they're eating, thinking, how can I betray Jesus? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. And then he begins washing their feet. So you understand, Jesus now is at Judas's feet, washing his feet. Well, what is Judas thinking? How can I betray this man at my feet? Jesus isn't shocked. He isn't surprised. Jesus knows. In verse 11, he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So Jesus now is washing the man's feet who he knows is thinking about how he's going to betray him. And he's going to do it that very night. Did Jesus stop and say, nope. I'm going to serve these other people. They deserve to be served. They're trying. You're not trying. I'm not going to serve you. That wasn't it at all. And then Jesus finishes in verse 14, if I then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. And that example includes washing the very feet of the people who wish to harm us. So it doesn't matter who it is. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus talks about his mission when he came. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then he adds something there. He says, and to give his life a ransom for many. So it is in the context here, Jesus is talking about dying on the cross. He did not die on the cross for the righteous. He died on the cross for the sinful people of the world. And in that context, saying, I just died for many. I died for the people of this world. I came to serve. So what's our example? Yes, there may be debate, there may be issue, and it is appropriate as to what we will participate in. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Jesus did not join him in betraying himself. So there is question, there is debate. What am I participating in? What am I giving approval to? But at its heart, at its root, we are supposed to be a people that just help, that just serve. In addition, you just never know what the impact of that's going to be. You never know who you're really helping or in what way you're helping them. I read something online the other day about a guy. We'll call him John because otherwise I get pronouns and he, and nobody will know who he is. So we're going to have two people in here. One's John, the other one's the other guy. John is a high school student. And he's coming home from high school one day, and he looks, and there's this new kid who had just recently moved to his school. And what he notices about the new kid was he had his backpack just filled with books. I mean, ridiculously filled with books. Like, he had taken home every book that he had. He's like, he can't possibly have that much homework. But he just notices this kid bared down by all of these books, and then the bullies come. And they knock the kid over, and they knock the books out, and they fall all over. And John does something he doesn't normally do, but he goes over and he helps the kid up. And he helps him pick up his books. And he says, I'm sorry, that just wasn't right. And they became really good friends. And then, later on, new kid, and he stuck around. And he hadn't done that before. He'd been always moving from school to school. He stuck around, and not only did he stick around, but he succeeded. And he was valedictorian. And so at the graduation, he stands up, and he starts giving a speech. And he says, I just want to thank everybody who helped me get here. And he said, I want to thank my parents. And then he said, I want to thank John. Because what John doesn't know, and he did not know this up until this point, is I had cleared out my locker to help my parents deal with my death. I was going home to kill myself. But one person helped me pick up my books and smiled. And here I am. You know what? You never know. It's the smallest things. You never know what impact you're going to have on people. You never know when you're going to save a life. You never know when you're going to make a day. You never know when you're going to save a soul. This is basically the message that's being taught in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Where it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You don't know who you're helping. You don't know what their circumstance is. And so God has created a people that are supposed to not be concerned about looking for the opportunities that's really going to make a difference, but looking at every opportunity as it might make a difference. And so we're supposed to be a people of service. And one thing we may not know is who it's going to impact or how much it's going to impact, but there are things we can know, and that is it does impact our soul. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20, a passage which used to be all in our bulletin fairly frequently, was this idea of don't lay up your treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. You know what Jesus didn't explain there? Is how. He just told us this idea. I want you to lay up your treasures in heaven. How do we do it? This is one of the ways how. By serving others. And that's what Jesus then is teaching in Matthew 25, verses 36 through 41. That can't be right. I believe 36 through 48 should be a longer passage than that. But this is where Jesus describes a judgment scene. He says, I'm going to separate the goats and the sheep from on the left and on the right. And then he explains to them, here's why you're going to be going into heaven, or here's why you're not going to be going into heaven. You saw me when I was naked, you gave me clothing. Or you saw me when I was naked and you didn't. You saw me and I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, or you didn't. And then, of course, they say, well, when did we see you? And the answer is, whenever you saw someone else, whenever you did this to somebody else. And you know what that's teaching us? Every act of service is laying up treasure in heaven. Everything we do to help other people is laying up treasure in heaven. And that will have its fruit in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Here it is in verse 9 that there will be a reward. It will come. It will be later. It'll be worth it. Every time we help somebody, we're laying up a little bit of treasure in heaven. Fourth, what I want to observe about service is that we are supposed to excel at it. I'm sure that you guys can all relate to this. When you go to a place, it's almost always a restaurant, but let's not limit it to that, but you go to a place and you get what we call bad service. Can everybody relate to that? When you go and you see somebody who just doesn't care about their job and they certainly don't care that you're there and they're actually kind of upset that you dared to walk into the establishment for which they work and they're like, you are ruining my day by doing something that, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do for. And we talk about how people today, this younger generation, is forgetting how to serve. And maybe they are. I don't know. But you know what? We shouldn't. And it shouldn't be about age, and it shouldn't be about upbringing. It should be about faith. We should be excellent servants. We should excel at it. People should come away and they say, I got great service from, well, not a place, but from a person. We should get great reviews online if there was a reviewjared.com. It should be just wonderful reviews about how he helped and how he cared. And that should be the case for each one of you. Why is that? Well, there's several passages about this. Let's look at Colossians. Ephesians and Colossians both say pretty much the same thing. Colossians 3, verse 22 says, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's why we should excel at service. We should not see race. We should not see gender. We should not see anything else about mankind other than this is my Lord that I am serving. This is an opportunity I have to show what I feel about my God. And so we should always give tremendous service. Christians should excel at service because we should treat each person as if they are like our Lord. Fifth, I want to point out that we should always make certain that we give God the glory in our service. We should not wait around to be thanked. It should not be about us at all. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, God has given us abilities. God has given us opportunities. God has given us blessings, and we're supposed to use those. And so verse 10, it says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we serve, we should be giving God the glory, saying, He's given me the opportunity. He has given me the skills. He has given me the material blessings. Whatever it is we're using, we should recognize that has come from God. Even if it is just, He is the one who's given me the direction, or He is the one who's given me the job to do this. We should always be giving God the glory. So this goes along with what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 8 through 10. But will He not say to them, Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. And so here he has this master-slave relationship. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which he commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves, we have done only that which we ought to have done. That is supposed to be our attitude. Not, let's wait back and let's see who's going to thank me, who's going to appreciate all that I've done. It's really supposed to be, I have only done what God has wanted me to do all along. I have fulfilled my purpose, my mission. There should be some satisfaction in that. We shouldn't need to seek the glory of men, but rather to give God the glory. And then consider Ephesians 4 and verse 28. And that is, our life should be, at least part of our focus ought to be on, how can I serve people more? So Ephesians 4 and verse 28 talks about a conversion, about somebody going from one position in life to where they are essentially a leech, where all they do is they take. And in this case, it's talking about a thief, but we could apply it in so many ways, a thief of emotions, a thief of blessings, whatever it might be. But it says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with those who has need, the one who has need. And so he sets up this principle, says we're not supposed to be the takers of the world, we're supposed to be the givers of the world. And we're supposed to work hard so that we can be a giver. Now, I want you to know something about when we preach the word, we are not setting ourselves up as saying, I am really great at this, I'm better at this than anybody else, so you guys follow my example. Ignore that. That's not how it works. So here's the question to me as much as to you. When you get a raise, do you think first about what else you can get and what else you can have? Or do we think about who else we can serve now? Do we think in those terms, that now that I have more blessings, I have more opportunity to help? Or are we just thinking of, now that I have more blessings, I can finally get these things that I've been thinking about for myself? We are supposed to be a people constantly working so that we can serve more. And let me finish off with the seventh point, and this is from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Let our service always be sincere. Let it be from our heart. Let it be an extension of our love. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Our service should always be an indication, an outward revelation of our inward dedication and devotion and love for the people around us. Jesus came to save you, but He also came to change you. Did you notice something about these passages? What's the direct practical application? Okay, Jared, so we're going to go home and we're going to work on this. What's this? What's your specific example here? I didn't see it. God speaks pretty vaguely here. Service is pretty vague. Doing good is pretty vague. It's for you to go home and think, how can I help? How can I serve? And boy, it really can be simple sometimes. It really can be as simple as being the person who sees somebody who's having a bad day and just smiling and helping them. To be somebody who sees somebody having a bad day and actually saying, can I help? Or how are you doing and actually want to hear? To really be somebody who listens. It really doesn't have to be much. Is it spiritual things? Yes. Let us share our spiritual things. Is it physical things? Yes. I have no specifics to give you. It is for you to go home and to be a servant in all things. Find it, seek it, and excel at it. Let us be known as servants, because that's what Jesus came to create. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become a Christian. Now, understand, that involves changing your life. That involves changing who you are. I assure you, it is for the better. God's way is always better than man's way. But if you're willing to change who you are, if you want to change where you're going, this is your opportunity. We encourage you to come forward and confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we call you back. Our Lord calls you back. He is incredibly merciful and patient, but your time is running out either way. Won't you come now while you still can, as we stand and as we sing?